The things that man has created. Pastor and I came back from the airport the other day, and all the things that God has done and the beauty that's all around us, sometimes we can't help but see the parking lot that man has made and all the things that surround us, and we let those things weigh us down. We let those things encumber us. Amen. And tonight my heart is burdened, and I'll move to the floor, but I would like to pray tonight and have you turn your Bibles. I'm going to skip a chapter. I'll actually read a verse from there, and we'll go back. But I want to go to Psalms 23 tonight. I'm sorry, Proverbs 23. And I'll go back to 22 and read a verse. But I'm going to pray before I come to the floor tonight. And I'd like to leave enough time tonight for us to have prayer meetings tonight. My heart is burdened for our young people. I've been praying for some time that God would just give me direction on how we can just help our young people. Folks, you know, we live in a day and age where I, especially from this side of the pulpit, I watch as the dear saints of God age, and we've buried so many of them this year. And the church, if it's going to be what it always has been, then our young people need to buy in. Our young people need to be what we are. And we have such good, God has blessed us with so many good families and so many good young people. And God, I think in his providence, has brought us Brother Jackson to be with us for a few days. And I'm going to ask the church tonight, as we close out tonight, I want to really pray. And I ask you to pray over the next few days. I've asked the staff to pray and to fast as we meet with our young people and we preach to them that God will plow up the fallow ground, the places, the hard places in our lives, not just for them, but for us. That God will give us revival in our own place. You say, well, preacher, we're having people saved. Folks, I want to see revival. I want to see God do a work in Haines City and our surrounding area that only he can do. Not something that we can work up, but that he can do. And that takes all of us realizing that God's got to do it and begging him for it. Amen. Let's pray together, and then I'll move down to the floor. Dear God, I come to you tonight, Lord, as your man, and God, I pray that you just help me to be right where you want me to be. God, I pray I yield myself to you the best way I know how. God, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you direct my heart and my mouth. And God, let me not be led astray by my thoughts or the things of this world or anything else, but to only be focused upon you and upon your word, God, and where you want me to be. I pray, God, tonight that you would do the work that we mentioned, how my heart is so heavy tonight, God, in this place. And I pray that, Lord, you'd allow me to convey your truth and, Lord, to hold my burden. Help me not to pass my burden so much on others, Lord. Help me to carry my burden and help, God, you place the burden that you want on others. God, help us tonight to be in your word. Help us to reveal your truth to our young people and to our believers that are here. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 23, I want you to look at something with me, and the thought tonight is not just young people. I hope you understand that. The Bible's good for all of us, and no matter what age you are, you may be a young person in Christ, and you just got saved, and sometimes we get saved, and we come to Christ at an older age, and we have some, if you're like others, it's been mentioned, maybe you came out of some other religion or something that taught you some things, and so you're trying to receive all the truth of God and trying to balance with the other things that you've been taught and try to let God direct you to put it all in the right place. And God's word will do that, and that God's teaching and God's church will do that for you if you're in the right place where they're preaching it straight and you get the right book. That helps things out a lot, doesn't it? And so when we get into that right place, look at chapter 22. We're going to be in 23 if you hold your finger there, but I want you to see there's so much in chapter 22 that we will go back and we'll read. But in verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. I could read through the entire chapter. It's a wonderful book of truth. And again, remember that this is written a father to his son under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost by a very wise man that made a wise choice. And I can't help but realize that our young people and even us tonight, church, all of us have a choice on what we will do with our lives, how we will invest ourselves. It's not a message, but I want you to take a title if you're taking notes. because I'm going to try to stick in one area of the scripture tonight and just push what I've got on burdening me and God laid upon me tonight for you. And I want you to see that in Proverbs 23, if you'll look in verse 23 with me, and I want you to see it from the perspective of God's stock market. God's stock market has four major commodities that the world trades that are bought and sold, and God tells us in verse 23 to buy these things and not sell them. And sometimes we run by this verse and we don't think much of it, but the book, this really, I mean, we're just past the center of the book of Proverbs, and this is the heart of this wise father writing to his son. And he kind of in one verse just reaches out again and says, please buy this. Buy this now. I've written to you. I've given you every reason under the sun that I know to have this. I want you to own it. I want you to keep it. And he writes it here in verse 23. He says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begatteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let not thine eyes observe my way. Let thy eyes observe my ways. I want to just say tonight, if I could, he says, buy the truth and sell it not. There are some things, and too many preachers stop right there and will spend the entire evening on one portion of the scripture, but that's not all God wants you to buy. The truth is so important, but we even when we own the truth and we have it, it's supposed to be seasoned with what? Grace? Mercy? There's so many things that we could say about truth, but I mean, when you say, well, where does it start? Man, I think you ought to buy into the Lord Jesus Christ because he is truth. We have tonight his word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This book is a book of truth. It is the mind of Christ in print for the believer. It's a roadmap for our life. If we're going to buy in, you say, well, I own a Bible. It's sitting in front of me. This is going much farther than just buying a dollar store Bible or even thinking that you've invested and bought a leather bound, something that has become an idol to you. When God says, buy the truth, he wants you to purchase the word of God and put it in you, not have it. Not own it as something that is outside or something that you set on the shelf until the preacher spoon feeds you the next week. He's talking about buy in to the truth. That means if God's word says it, it's truth. It's what I ought to live by. It's where I ought to walk. It's what I ought to talk. Not after I read the truth, then I try to measure what I think about it. Truth is truth. We preach it to the world when they try to change something that we don't like, but too many times, we buy the truth, but then we sell the parts that we don't like. Instead of, listen, if you were to have an old King James Bible, I mean an original. You know what I mean? I mean that, the originals are big, but again, that old Bible, the 1611, it's worth a whole lot more when you keep it whole than it is if you break it into pieces. You start taking, in the scripture we have what Jehoiakim, he just started cutting out the pieces he didn't like. And sometimes I think we're pretty rough on him, but I don't know that too many Christians in our age or our Laodicean age are much different than that, where we read the parts we want and we practice the things that we think are important, but we cut out and flick out the things that we don't think really matter in our age. When truth is a whole, you separate a piece of truth out and you have error because you don't have the whole truth. And in our age, it's so important. And I think we boil all this down, and mom and dads, listen up, and children, listen up, because this boils all the way down. You beg this father, begs his son to buy truth, to buy wisdom, to buy instruction, and to buy understanding. And then he comes all the way down in verse 26. He says, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. It's so important that we practice what we preach. It's so important that we live. We can hold this book up and say, I believe that this is the very words of an almighty God. But when we practice part of it and not the other part was for somebody else. Your kid, my children, who have given us their heart, will sell out because your ways are not what you said. I follow the truth and I believe it, but it's not what I practice. We live in a day and age, and that's a hard truth, and we can go back. But listen, I read the verse before because God promises if we train them up in the way that they should go, even if it doesn't look like they're going in the direction that you wanted and taught them and you were faithful, the Bible says when they're old. You read the verse? Let me read it to you. He says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Doesn't say that he won't go off and sow his wild oats. Doesn't say that he's not going to ever do wrong. It doesn't say that he's not going to ever sell out something, but he always knows as long as mama and daddy and grandmom and grandpa are still walking in the ways of Almighty God, he knows. You may not know it, but he may still have given you his heart. And even though he's testing the waters of everything else, he knows where the truth is and where to come back and get it, because somebody's still walking in its ways. Hey, buy truth and sell it not. Man, when I think about the stock market and commodities, you talk to anybody and read anybody that, you know, it's not always the short trading game that is going to really make the money or make it big or really have the real long-lasting effect as investing in something that you believe in and sticking with it long-term. Being on, going through the ups and the downs and the hard times when it isn't easy. And I don't think it's really much different when you come to the things of the Lord. Listen, I'm going to tell you, when you buy truth, sometimes it's popular and sometimes it ain't. Sometimes it pays off and sometimes it feels like you're in the hole. But listen to me, one day, and I preached about it Sunday, I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be weighed and measured by the book of truth that God told me to buy, not by the parts that I liked and not the parts that I didn't. It's going to be by truth of Almighty God. He doesn't just stop there. Think about buy this. It means to acquire it, to own it. And even the other words, when we go through wisdom, instruction, and understanding, it's the progression. I get this. I believe it's truth. I buy into it. And then I get wisdom. Wisdom is simply the right use or exercise of knowledge. That means I start to know this and I put wisdom to action in my life and I practice truth in my life. Then I have instruction. You know, instruction, too many times we think it's being taught. Do you know the word in the 1828 dictionary says, I thought this was really neat, direction, order, command, or mandate. Instruction in my life is realizing God has given me direction. God has given my life order if I follow it. God has given me a command to follow and a mandate that I must fulfill if I'm to believe and buy into the truth. Do you know most kids are looking for direction? Don't tell me when they fill their nose and their ears and get tattoos all their body that they're trying to be different, because that's what everybody is doing. That's what the world is thinking is popular and is being pulled to peer pressure. That is simply, you say, well, they're acting out. Acting out of what? Out of natural character or outside of the truth. You say, preacher, do you not care for people that have those? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that folks that have direction, you know what? Because I identify with the church, I don't feel like I need to get tattoos and identify with another group of people. All right? I've never been led to go get ears pierced and identify with another group so that people can see. In the Bible, that was an identifying marker of a servant, someone who was a slave to something. And I'll just tell you today, in the New Testament, for a man to go out and get his ears pierced, I'm going to tell you, he's slave to something. Something owns him. All right? He can say that he's all the man and he's going to wear that. And, you know, the same thing men say, oh, I'm man enough to wear pink. Come on. Maybe you should be man enough not to wear pink. All right, maybe you should be man enough to believe the truth and be a man and lead in the ways that you ought to. You say, what do you got against pink, preacher? It's for women. It's effeminate. I want to be a clear line. All right? You say, oh, man, you're dabbling. All right, I'm just trying to tell you who I am. Amen? I'm just trying to tell you what I was taught. And if it was truth, if it was ever truth, it's still truth. Amen? You know, in this same chapter, it holds one of the verses that we hold as a church. If you read earlier in verse 10, remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thy ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from a child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. For my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice even mine. Too many times, sorrow comes for those that will spare the rod and spoil their child. They won't turn into the truth because we turned away when correction should have been the time that we came. You know, think about how many believers come into God's house, but because they never had a mom and daddy that ever chastised them the way that God wants them to, when they get chastised as a believer, they can't take it. I've never been told no, so why would I stay in a church that would tell me no, that I can't teach Sunday school because I'm doing this? Hey, listen, I'm just going to tell you right now, when you know, if you want to teach and lead, then ladies need to dress like ladies. All right, if you're going to be a man and you're going to lead, you need to dress like a man. All right, and we need to buy into the truth and follow the things. We have a church in an area that is booming, that people could be saved and walk the aisles every week if we would follow the book and the commands of God and follow in the direction and order that he set forth to follow the commands of God, the great commission, the great command, the mandate that he gave the church, not just to send the missions around the world, but to hit the streets and what was preached Sunday night, to be a missionary ourselves. Buying into the truth and be wise. Put it into practice. See it in our ways. This is the old landmark for a reason. Landmark ought to be a place everybody ought to know. If you want to be saved, call Landmark. Go to Landmark. Go down to Landmark because those people have the truth. They bought into it a long time ago. And you, if you as much walk in the back door, you will get told where you can get in on Jesus Christ. You'll be told you can't get away. You can't ride a bus into that place without somebody telling you about Jesus. You can't walk on the property without feeling conviction. I wouldn't even go down there if you don't want to get saved, because somebody is going to arrest you for Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, I'm just telling you tonight. I want our young people, I want our church to buy in on Jesus Christ. You say, well, I've been here for 40 years. That don't mean you bought into Jesus Christ. That means you bought into part of what we do here or a piece of that. But man, the landmark, you know, on a landmark, on a piece of land, there were corners on that property. They set up an old landmark and they said it was supposed not to be removed because there was an inheritance. It was something that was left for those that would come behind. I believe that we have a church. One of the young men, out of all the things that could happen to me today, as the preacher loading tables up, all right, in the back of an old truck, I'm loading tables, and a little boy asked me, preacher, where the 5th and 6th grade is that the first church building? I said, no, son, that ain't the first church building. The church building is where the old school office used to be. That's what the property was there. I said, but then God sent us Pastor Carter. And in that first year, they grew and he built a building and they packed that thing out and they had to build more buildings and they had to build more buildings and they kept expanding. They bought up all the houses everywhere around because a man came and bought into the truth, and a group of people that he preached to bought into the truth, and they, with wisdom, invested themselves in the great direction and mandate of an almighty God, and God built something in this place. And I'm not about to come into this place place and move the landmarks from where God placed them, because that's my inheritance. That's your inheritance. And I want all of it. I don't want the new age stuff. Listen, I have an inheritance in music. I don't want that old. I don't want this new stuff that they have. I don't want it in the preaching. I don't want it in the nursery. I don't want new age diapers. I want the old stuff. Amen. I want the stuff that God has blessed all through the years. And so I must buy into the truth, and I must invest myself in the direction and order that God has set forth in His Word. It's so important. He not only stops there, but He gives instruction and He gives understanding. You know, understanding, I don't know about you, but understanding to me, because I've gone enough years and had enough years under, I thought I knew what plumbing was because I did it. But then I went to school and I was taught to understand why I did everything that I did. Do you know there's nothing wrong with teaching our kids why we stand where we stand? There's nothing wrong, instead of just teaching the truth, tell them where the truth is. Tell them why we stand in the truth. Where that came from. It isn't just something we made up, but it has direction and order, and it all came from the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, His Word, and it's in print. And we can give them that. Too many times, we just move on instead of trying to help our young people understand why we still stand where we always stood, by the old landmarks. Too many times they're looking at the greener fields outside of the landmarks. Too many times they're looking at other places. Well, they don't do that. And again, I'm just going to be honest with you. I want to invest in you and in my own family, and just remind you that they're not just looking at everybody else. They're looking at our homes and our ways, Mom and Dad. They're looking at what we do. And if we're bought into the truth, I've told you and told you and told you, my kids, you know what, when they're in my car, they listen to right music because that's what I listen to. All right? If you want your kids to listen to Gospel 90.3, guess what you need to listen to? Gospel 90.3. If you want your kids to listen to right music, I mean the right kind, then guess what you need to turn on? Do you know what I find with my own kids, what has my heart? Man, whatever I'm singing in the car, it don't take too many days. When I get happy over it a couple of times, they start singing along too. And they get happy about it. It happens. If you want to be, you know, nobody is born a deer hunter. I know that every one of us think that we had that in our DNA. Deer hunting. You were taught that. You were taught to love it. I'm just telling you. You had to take them out and show them, and they at first went, shoot Bambi? Yes, kill Bambi, and we will eat. Right? And after they do it once, you know, I remember, my boys wouldn't touch that thing. I remember the first time we gutted a deer, my daughter went with me. She was like, I got this, Dad. She was old enough. She loved what Dad loved. She knew Dad wanted to do that. You know, after a while, the boys didn't have a problem with it because they saw us do it over and over again. They saw that that was our way. We live in a day and age now where kids ain't never seen anything shot and killed. We live in a day and age they've never seen it cleaned. They think it all comes from the supermarket. And if they get it on their hands, it's, ugh, let me wipe my cart down. You know, I mean, we used to be men. We grab any cart. Amen. We'd spit in our hands and grab the cart and push it in there. We take a fresh holt. But we let the world and the craziness of our day change us, and we don't believe. Listen, I'm not going to go into Walmart fearing that my God can't take care of me there too. Now, I know that that is a fearful place, but I've never met a cart that I'm scared of, unless my wife had it full of stuff and I was looking at what I had to pay for. That's the only ones I'm scared of. Amen? Hey, folks, God has given us not only the truth, but He's given us wisdom enough to use the truth in the right way. Not to beat somebody over the head, but to present it in the way that Jesus would if He was here. Yeah. And then, how about instruction? If there was any place, you know, think of the audacity of the world to say that we ought not have a Bible college. Yeah, right. Who else has instruction? Who else has direction and order other than the local church? And that's it. Listen, folks, it's a hard sell. You think the state has order? They don't know what they're doing. But they're the ones that everybody wants to seek their accreditation. And they don't know which way is up. That is clear. They're always arguing with each other about what law they're going to put in, and then they compromise. And that is a bad place to set your trophy up. This is my accredited degree, and it's set up on a bunch of compromisers. Instead of set on the old landmarks, instead of set on the Word of God, instead of set on the wisdom of God's Word, instead of set up on the instruction of God's Word, instead of being set up on a place where not only can we teach you what to do, how to do it, but to understand why we do it over and over and over again. Understanding. I can't tell you how many times in my when I was studying plumbing, when I sat down in there and I realized, you know, I always thought, you know, I could fudge a little bit. You know, I'm supposed to have 18 inches, but then the wall was in a bad place. And I'd have to cut through this other two before to put my drain line on the other side of it so I could get the 18 inches that they asked me for every time by law. And then when I understood that if I don't have that 18 inches, that thing could back drain. It could cause a suction and the trap would dry up. And then the gases from the sewer would come into the house and kill the family that hired me to do their plumbing in the walls. And I think to myself, I never thought just cutting an inch off of this pipe and making it easier for myself would kill this family. Yeah. Hey, folks, you know what happens in the Christian life? Too many times, we take the truth and we cut an inch off of it. Yeah. It'll never hurt anything. That's what we think. It's not going to kill anybody. You know, if this building had all the families that grew up in this place, we'd have to have a three times as big a building as we have right now. But somewhere, somebody bought the truth and sold a little piece of it. And they sold another little piece of it. And they sold another little piece of it. Maybe it was wisdom here or instruction there or understanding. But they came to a place where they couldn't even tell or remember where they started in the truth. If you asked them, where were the old landmarks set? They couldn't tell you where they used to be placed. I just kept selling pieces of the old homestead off. And I kept moving the pieces in and in and in. Hey, folks, I don't want to be that kind of person. I don't want to be that kind of Christian, and I sure don't want to be a part of that kind of church. I beg you, listen, I want to have an invitation tonight. We have 5 or 10 minutes here. I want to ask the church to come down and pray. If you pray in your seat, but I want you to pray for our young people. I want to pray for our families tonight. I want to pray for Brother Jackson and Brother Nathan Pitts, who are going to preach to our teenagers, and he'll preach Sunday to our young people. I want God to move in our midst and to change us. I want God to revive us. I want God to have us buy in and help us to never sell what he has for us. As the musicians come, let's stand to our feet. If you're going to sit in your pew and pray, that do that. But if you want to come to the altar, you come to the altar tonight. Find a place. Find somebody to pray with. Go to pray with your family. I beg you tonight, come out and step out and find a place and just call out to God and ask God to help us to buy truth and not to sell it.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind cross before me, though turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning
out in prayer tonight. Dear God, we come to you as a church, heavy-hearted and longing to, God, we want to hold on to the landmarks that you've given us, Lord. I pray that you just help each family here to buy in, Lord. I pray that you'd help us not to sell. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to just get into each one of these things. Lord, help us not to just have the truth, but to have the wisdom to know how to use the truth, the instruction, Lord, to give direction and have order in our lives, our homes, our families. Help us, Lord, to complete the mandates and the commands that you've given us. God, I beg you tonight that you just help us to understand. Help us to teach others to understand, God, that this is the way. This is the way you want us to be, the way you want us to walk, how you want us to live, and this is the best way. God, I beg you tonight you'd be with all the things that Thursday, Lord, that you'd be with Brother Jackson as he preaches to the teenagers, Friday as he preaches to the junior high, and Nathan preaches to our high school. God, I pray that you'd be with our Sunday meetings here. God, I pray you'd help us to find lost people and invite them to come in. God, help us to be missionaries. Help this Sunday to be a life-changing day for so many people in our area because of you, Lord, what you'll do in their life. We pray that you'll help us to be faithful until you come. In Jesus' name, amen. Choir,
yes, sir.
You must step out because you are VIPs. We need you tonight.